And my confession is a temptation that I've faced this week that usually gets people's attention. You know, what is it? I discovered when I was preparing to speak on the road to Emmaus that I'd actually preached on this back in April as part of our Easter sermons. So I was tempted just to open up that file on the computer and to preach it again. But then I thought, no. The Mission Church will have all listened really carefully and they'd rumble me because they'd all remember exactly what I said. The confession is I couldn't remember exactly what I said, so you're fairly safe. But I was also quite tempted to teach on that fantastic Philippians passage. It's really a piece of confession by Paul about what his ministry is about. He said, I don't know what to do. I'd like to stay. I want to go. It's a great passage. If you get to read it this week, really enjoy it and dig a bit deeper into it. But I thought instead, what I'd do is preach about dentists. And I had to check as I came in that James, our resident dentist, wasn't here. And because he isn't, I can let rip. Come on, be honest. Who likes going to the dentist? Looking around this room without being too rude, I think many of us are of the generation when going to the dentist really hurt. Not like young people where it's all sort of soft and fluffy, it really hurts. And those of us who live in that legacy will remember the nervousness. And we haven't really kicked it, have we? We still go in there and we're thinking, well, I know they say it didn't hurt last time and it didn't hurt the time, but this time it will. So I was sitting for a routine checkup in the dentist's chair. And I don't think I was praying, but I think I was slightly attuned to help. And in the middle of this, Jesus turned up. And there's a particular issue that our family have been wrestling with. He wasn't talking about what that probe might do to my gums. He said, Kevin, that particular issue your family are dealing with and worried about, I've got it. Don't worry, it'll be fine. Trust me. And we've lived with that promise for the weeks and months that have followed that conversation. So my question is, should we expect that? Should we expect Jesus to turn up in the ordinary and the everyday, even in the dentist? This morning we are continuing our listening series, and we're looking at listening to Jesus. And we have this road to Emmaus passage in Luke 24. It might help you to follow that if you have that passage in front of you. Some first person to find it can shout out the page number.
1061.
Thank you. 1061. I always remember because I'm a historian by training, so I always remember it by dates. 1061, Edward the Confessor was on the throne. Bet you really wanted to know that, didn't you? Now, this passage begins with that same day. Just to put it into context, that same day was Easter Day. And on Easter Day, I always get this wrong. On Easter Day, two people were walking down a road. And they were talking about the news and what had happened to Jesus. Cleopas and the one we always feel a bit sorry for because we don't know their name. Now, there is all sorts of research, so I'm told, which suggests who that person could be. Don't worry, we're not going to go through it, but if that worries you as much as it worries me, you can dig through and find a biblical scholar who said, well, it might be this person, it might be that person. Actually, for the purpose of this morning, it doesn't matter. Cleopas plus one is what we're going to do this morning. And they're walking along and they're discussing all the news from Jerusalem about what had happened to Jesus. Now, it's not the main sermon, but I'm going to leave you with a little challenge as we start. When you're walking along, talking to your friend, standing in the foyer out there, walking down the high street, in the shops, what do you talk about? The weather? Safe. The price of everything these days, safe. Family and friends, fairly safe. What do you talk about Jesus? But these two were talking about Jesus because for them, their world had changed. The Jesus that they had followed had been crucified, but now there were rumours circulating that that might not have been the end. And then, in the middle of that conversation, Jesus showed up. We don't quite know what happened and how it happened, but what we do know is he said, if he'd been Welsh, he would have said, "What's occurring?" And the human reaction of Cleopas plus his companion is very normal. It's a very normal reaction. It's a bit like a major event had happened. It's a bit like, you know, your football team had just won and your friend came around and said, "What are you talking about?" Oh, come on. Their human reaction was very normal. And most of the passage, we get to the meat of the passage now. And it is the walkers, Cleopas and his friend, giving an account of recent events and their reaction. And then we come to Jesus offering a godly perspective as he sets this in the context of the scriptures and who he was. He puts a godly context onto these same events, followed by communion, followed by revelation, and then transformation as the Cleopas and his friend return to Jerusalem. It's a good story, isn't it? It's one of those stories that would make a great big part of a biblical epic on the TV. But what might we read into a story like this as a church who are considering Christian listening, and specifically this morning, listening to Jesus? I find it very interesting, if you read this passage, that the story in Luke, which probably came from a first-hand account by Cleopas and whoever it was to Luke, contains lots about what they said, but very little of the words that Jesus said. My Bible puts the words that are not from Jesus in black, but the words from Jesus in red. And actually, if I look at my passage, there's very little red on that page and an awful lot of black. Why? Surely this should be about what Jesus said, not what Cleopas and his companion said. Yet, if we're honest, most of us are better at remembering what we said than remembering what other people said. Surely, if we're listening to Jesus, our Saviour, we should be hanging on his every word. As Christians, we want to hear the words of Jesus. And yet, in this passage, it seems they can't quite remember. They remember what he was on about, but they can't remember his words. We don't, surely as Christians, we don't just want to hear the words of Jesus in a dentist's chair, but anywhere and everywhere. And there's a challenge in this passage about how much we remember through the Bible, through sermons, through other Christians. How much time do we give to listen? And how much do we make the effort to remember? There's an old saying, an old marketing adage. By the time you're sick of repeating it, people have just begun to get it. So if you say it often enough, say, "Oh, for goodness sake, not again," people are just beginning to remember. That could be a preaching adage as well. And it could be a God adage. If you read the whole Bible, it's full of God saying, "I love you, follow me." But they don't. "I love you, follow me." But they don't. "I love you, follow me." But they don't. And so it goes on through the Old Testament and the New Testament. God keeps repeating, but people don't listen. It's not that uncommon. Now, there was, back in the 17th century, a movement called the Puritan movement, which took this kind of thing really seriously. And young people were expected, and old people indeed, sorry if you're relaxing there, were expected to know great chunks of the Bible. And on Mondays, after the Sunday sermon, they gathered and listened to their children recite the main points of the sermon. So tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. here, there's a better one that Mr. Hatchery will approve of, that in some pubs in country areas, above the bar, there were special half-pint glasses. And the reason they were there is because after the Sunday sermon, the tradition was you gathered in the pub, had half a pint, because it was Sunday, and discussed the main points of the sermon. People taking listening to Jesus seriously, whether through the word, whether through the preaching, whether through other Christians. Interesting that in this passage, Cleopas and his companion can't quite remember what Jesus said. But listening is much more than words. Listening is far more than that. Whilst the passage doesn't record much of what Jesus said, it does record really clearly how what he said made Cleopas and his companion feel. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked, verse 32? If we truly listen to Jesus, if we truly take on board his words, the Son of God, should we not expect it to make a difference? Should we not expect our hearts to burn within us? Should we not expect it to change our lives, our attitudes and our intentions? Cleopas and his companion literally turned around as a result of meeting Jesus. Someone said to me after the sermon in Walton, what would have happened if they hadn't invited him to stay with them? Would they have missed something if they didn't want to hear some more? It's a really good question. What we do know is when they realised who he was, they literally said, things need to change. We need to go back to Jerusalem. We need to go and report the good news that we have. As we listen to Jesus, shouldn't we expect something similar? Shouldn't we expect our hearts to burn within us? Shouldn't we expect a new purpose and a new direction? Jesus' words do so often that they offer comfort to those who need it, but they can sometimes make the comfortable uncomfortable. Do we expect change as we listen to Jesus? Because surely we would expect to be changed. That's great, isn't it? It's all well and good. It's all sort of cerebral stuff in the head. But you can be sitting there quite rightly saying, that's fine, Kevin, but how do I listen to Jesus? Again, the passage gives us plenty of clues. Cleopas and his anonymous companion, what they weren't doing is at the time they heard Jesus is sitting in a church. They weren't singing hymns. They weren't at a Bible study, although they probably did all the first century Palestinian equivalent of those things. They were doing really ordinary things. They were probably commuting home. Anybody done this in their life? You haven't lived. I've done this on the Northern Line for a year, and that's mainly why I live in Somerset. The ordinary everyday. They were probably travelling home. What is our ordinary everyday? Is it shopping? Is it travelling? Eating? Talking? Going to the hairdresser? Going to the dentist? In this everyday, Jesus turned up and their hearts burned within them and their plans and attitudes changed. What does your ordinary everyday look like? And do we expect Jesus to turn up and speak? If he does, will we listen? And will we be ready to change based on what we hear? There's a lovely old cartoon, which I'm sure many of you have seen. Who wants change? Well, none of you do, obviously. You're all very happy the way it is. But who wants to change? And if we want change, Lord, start with somebody else. No, start with me. If we want change and we want Jesus to start change, then he starts with us and we listen to what that change might be. As we come to the end of this, I want to set you a little challenge. And I want to actually give you permission to get your phones out, or your diaries out, however you keep a record of what your ordinary and everyday for the next week might be. Maybe you have it on your phone, in which case get your phone out. Yeah, you really can. Get your diary out. If you actually just got it in your head, close your eyes. Just mentally picture where you'll be this time tomorrow or Tuesday. Any appointments you have, any people you're due to meet, any work commitments you have, any places you've got to travel to. Just hold those in your head. These are our ordinary, our everyday. These are our road to Emmaus, if you like. Do we expect Jesus to show up? If he does, are we ready to listen? If we're ready to listen, are we ready to change? I'm just going to hold a moment of quiet to allow you to put those places and situations that will be your ordinary and everyday before God, to invite him to show up, to open our hearts to listen, and prepare ourselves to change. So some quiet and then I'll pray. Father, in the ordinary, in the everyday, in the appointments, in the meetings, in the clubs, in the lessons, in the places, we pray through your Spirit that you would be present. Father, may our hearts burn within us. May our ears be attuned to listen. And may we be ready to change as we follow your will for our lives in those places, in those times. Amen.